Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello and welcome to F1 Explains. I'm Christian Hughgill. Katie Osborne is with me, and we are somewhere very, very special indeed.
Yeah, Christian, that's one way to put it. We are standing on the racetrack, on the starting grid at Circuit of the Americas. Now, the grid is full of people. Teams are bringing in equipment, just passing us as a tire stack that's all in Italian. Charles Leclerc and Ferrari are just making sure everything's in the right place. The huge main grandstand beside us is full of fans because guess what? It is 40 minutes before the start of the F1 sprint race here at the USGP.
Yeah, this is the first podcast ever to be recorded on the grid before a Formula One race. We're going to explain what happens right here in the minutes before the five red lights go out. And we are against the clock for this podcast, Katie.
There's
no
a little
pressure.
Bit of anxiety with that, but we're against the clock here. We don't got that much time.
Well, you're right, because in half an hour, everybody, including us, has to get off the grid. So we're going to talk through what's happening around us as yet more tyres get wheeled into position. These ones belong to Mercedes. And then we'll go over some of the rules and the other things you need to know about the Formula One grid.
So the first thing I notice about the grid is walking over from pit lane onto the grid, it's immediately hotter. This tarmac is darker and it feels like, yes, we got the Texas sun above us, but now we got heat below us as well. The grid is full of people, media like us, you got celebrities, and most importantly, the drivers and teams are kind of filtering their way on through. There are actually so many rules about the grid, though, and that's what's really hard is you never know if you're actually following the rules the right way. But the first one we'll tell you about is that each team is allowed 42 members of staff on the grid. That's it, to cover both their cars. And we're surrounded by those people right now. We got the race engineers, Christian performance engineers, mechanics, strategists. You see them running past us. I just got a whiff of air coming by that Marshall. Driver trainers, team principals, it's all happening.
Yeah, so let's use an example of what we can see in front of us right now. At this stage, as Katie says, we're probably 35 minutes from lights out. And on this particular grid, it's a sprint race. So at this point, the cars haven't made their way out the garage yet. To my left, I can see the Alpine garage, where Pierre Gasly's car has had the covers taken off. There are mechanics looking around it. And any moment now, certainly within a few minutes, that car will do a loop of the track and it will join us here on the start-finish straight at COTA. So stood in front of me here is the grid box of one of the McLaren cars, where you might just be able to hear wheel guns being fired up. That's by an RB mechanic to my left. And in front of me, the equipment that three or four, in fact, McLaren engineers are running through are tyre warmers, are the big things you see at the back of the car to keep the cars cool. And as well as all of those engineers who are getting last minute bits ready, like, as we've just said, tyre blankets, tyres themselves, we've also got media, Formula One staff, technical staff, all on the grid, making sure not only the cars are ready, but also broadcast facilities are ready to bring you the race action at home and all over the world.
What I like is how quickly everything is unloading. In fact, you know when you're standing in queue at the airport trying to, like, drop your luggage off and they have those ropes that you hope unsnaps and it slides back really fast, yeah, and it's kind of fun to do while you're waiting? The teams all have their individual ones, and it's amazing at how quickly they brand their little box here on the grid to making sure everybody knows that, for instance, Aston Martin's beside us here, Lance Stroll's in front of us, and it just looks like a proper, it looks like all of their branding straight away. It's unbelievable how quickly it all happens. Now let's take a step back and talk about how the drivers get to the grid. It seems pretty simple, but actually, as we mentioned, there's rules and regs and ways it all has to happen. The first thing that does happen, Christian, is the pit lane opens so the cars can leave the garages and go to the grid. You were mentioning the cars are still over there. That happens exactly 30 minutes before the sprint and 50 minutes before the Grand Prix. Now, drivers can leave the pits and do recon laps. They're only allowed to do one recon lap before the sprint. That's something that is a rule. They're sometimes allowed to stop in a special area at the end of the pit lane to do that practice start. Another really important thing, just with the differences here. They stop on the grid, turn that engine off. Mechanics often put the car on their trolley, and it gets pushed to the grid box. That's so we don't have cars driving among the crowds of people that are surrounding us now. And truly, when these cars come out on track, this place is unreal. And to be able to navigate it without, as producer Chris told us before we started, watch your back, because things are moving quick around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Katie mentions that there are rules we have to follow when we're getting onto the grid. You'll be very unsurprised to know that the drivers have to follow some rules as well, as do their teams. Now, cars must drive around the track to get to the grid. It would be a lot shorter if they were to be pushed out through the little gap that we've just walked through from the pit lane. But that would be chaos. It's a very little gap. So they can't be pushed straight there from the pit lane. Any that can't drive to the grid will start from the pit lane, which is obviously a big disadvantage. You're starting from right at the back and you're waiting until the cars have cleared off the start-finish line. You'll have seen that so many times if you're a regular viewer to Formula One. Now, 40 minutes before the Grand Prix and 25 minutes before the sprint, the pit lane closes. Now, at that time, all the cars must be on the grid. Any that aren't must start from the pit lane. Now, a gap is left for any cars that don't make it. So Katie's just mentioned, for example, we've got Lance Stroll's car straight in front of us, or the gap where Lance Stroll's car will be. If Lance doesn't make it, this grid space in front of us will be left blank. It's not like everybody else shuffles up, Katie.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one thing that's happening beside us is the RB team pulling out some dry ice to go ahead and put what in their vent systems here to make sure things are cool off, Christian. I don't know the exact technical term of what they're doing and what cooler they're putting it in, but that looks like some heavy-duty dry ice right there.
Yeah, Katie, what that is, it's dry ice, which is in the sort of thing you'd take to the park for a picnic. It looks like what you
that's
keep
what we call in America
in.
A cooler.
Yeah, a cooler.
An igloo cooler.
And then on the back of it, what you have is something which looks like a giant Hoover, or if you've ever seen one of those air conditioning units that people get in an office and people stick the back end of it out a window, that cool box has got one of those coming out the back of it. What happens with those, and it's particularly important at tracks like Austin because it is warm here in COTA. We're looking at about 27 degrees Celsius right now. It's really important the cars don't overheat on the grid. So that dry ice gets pumped into the cars to make sure they don't overheat from towards the back of the car. It's something you'll often see if you're keeping an eye on broadcasters' grid walks like Will Buxton on F1 TV, Martin Brundle on Sky, various others around the world. You'll often see it happening when you're watching grid walks on the TV.
And that's for Liam Lawson, who is, again, getting back in the car this weekend here at COTA. Now, a few things to point out. To help the drivers find the right grid box, you would think, hey, they've done this before, right? Well, there are small LED screens at the side of the grid showing the drivers' names and number. For instance, we're looking at Alonso, number 14 there with Aston Martin. On the track itself, though, Christian, the white grid box has a yellow line to the side of it. I'd like to point out, these colors are striking on this grid. I don't know if it's particular to COTA or if all grids look this vibrant, but this is spectacular. And I would love to understand whose job it is to paint these grid box lines, because they are meticulous.
I would think it was fair to say, Katie, that this looks particularly bright here at COTA compared to other circuits. It looks almost like it's been freshly relayed. But you're right, Katie, the grid boxes look bright and vibrant.
Now, we mentioned the yellow and white lines. That yellow line is to help the driver position the car. They can't actually see the white box when they're parking in it, which I thought was a real fun fact. But they can use the yellow line as a reference point. If they don't park properly in the grid box for the start of the race, Christian, they do get a penalty.
Yep.
So it's that rock and a hard place, right? They can't see it. They're relying on other factors. They're hoping they can see their sign. It all has to come together. But what's unusual about it is not every grid's the same, right? So every time they come to COTA, they have to readjust as opposed to some of the other racetracks. Some grids are wider than others. The one here in Austin is much wider than, say, Monaco, for example.
Oh, it's about 111 times wider than Monaco. Yeah, it's huge.
And some grids aren't even straight. Monaco's bends around a corner, so the drivers at the back can't actually see the starting lights. And there's a second set of lights halfway down the grid, synced to the lights in front.
So let's take a little bit of a look at what's going on around us now as the clock ticks closer to the start of the sprint race.
Do you feel the anticipation? I feel like we're going to be rushed out at any moment. I know that's not the case, but that ticking clock, man, has me going.
Well, there's a ticking clock behind us, and Katie's exactly right, because I was just about to say, as the US flag beautifully blows in the breeze in front of me, that even since we've started the podcast, the grid has got busier and busier and busier. There's now more mechanics. I can see Pirelli engineers checking things are right with their tyres. There's even more media. There's even more Formula Ones today.
Do you hear that, Christian?
I hear
it. That's a beautiful sound.
Now, Katie's just mentioned it. We can hear those laps to the grid starting. The first car has just come out the garage. I'm quite a while away, so I'm going to try and see who it is.
It looks a little papaya to me.
Does it look papaya to you? Because I can't see from here. I can't see which Formula One cars they are. There's definitely a Sauber, because I can see the bright green. So the first car's leaving the garage right now to go round and do that reconnaissance lap, like we mentioned a little earlier. And in a couple of minutes' time, they're going to be arriving right next to where we're standing. Katie, should we talk about how the grid is actually formed?
Yes. I would just also like to point out, did it get hotter since those cars left the garage?
It's a hot day here at COTA,
yeah. It's hot, but I feel like they are creating more and more heat.
Katie,
now on the grid, it's getting even warmer.
You're absolutely right. These cars, when you're up close to them like we're about to be, they sort of create their own ecosystem around them. You can see the heat that they pump out. You often see heat haze when you're watching on TV, and there's a wide pan of the camera in particularly hot races like COTA, like Albert Park, Melbourne, and you see that little bit of heat haze when you're at the side of the cars. They do make the atmosphere around them, Katie's exactly right, warmer. And just, we should say at this stage, that as the cars, we mentioned there's a Sauber rapidly on the way. What are we seeing now, Katie?
You see the whole team running. You want to talk about being hot. Those guys in their race suits have to be creating some heat. They just made a mad dash from the start of the grid to the tail end and did it very, very quickly.
Yeah, they've got an unfortunate thing, the Sauber team, because they are right at the far end of the pit lane, closer to the top of the hill, closer to turn one.
But for the garage, you're saying for the garage?
For the garage, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But their car is right at the back of the grid. So they, in their overalls, to make sure they get there and they're ready to meet Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu in time, are sprinting to the end of the grid. And we've just seen our first car arrive too, haven't we, Katie?
That's right. Yep, we see a little Ferrari rolling on in here. Of course, you mentioned how the grid is actually formed. An important thing to take note, the cars line up two by two in 10 staggered rows. You may have seen that on TV. The order, though, is decided by qualifying times. Fastest at the front, slowest at the back. If any driver has any penalties, they drop at the back and everyone moves up a place. That might all seem very basic, but hey, you just never really know who knows what. Each car is 8 meters, or let's just say 26 feet ahead of the next car. P1 has the 8 meter head start over P2. P2 is 8 meters ahead of P3, and so on and so forth. And literally, we have Haas cars moving past us right now. McLaren's lining up in their pit box. It's all getting so very exciting.
I'm going to carry on explaining what Katie started there, how the grid is formed, in just a moment. But Katie's right, we should just take a moment to recognize that now, just steps away from us, are the Formula One cars, which have started to come into the grid. And we're going to walk a little bit further forward here to join Oscar Piastri, who is in his number 81 branded McLaren. It's got the shiny silver chrome special livery here at the US Grand Prix, which is glinting in the Texas sun. Oscar's just got to the grid. He's lifted his headrest off the car. It's been taken from him by a mechanic. He's now lifting himself out of the car. We can see him pushing up on the halo to get himself out.
Cool helmet design. We're getting a good glimpse of his, what looks like road sign helmet.
And drivers don't stay in the cars for the entire time that the cars themselves are on the grid while we wait for lights out. At this point, we're watching Oscar move to the side. He's talking to his performance engineer and race engineer in one go. They're having a conversation. This is where they're going to be talking about last minute things before the race starts. Now, Oscar isn't on pole position. That's a little bit in front of us.
No, he's starting 16th for this one.
Yeah, but pole position is almost always on the racing line. Here at COTA, it's on the right-hand side of the track because cars climb the hill and approach turn one on the right-hand side. Basically, the driver on pole, which for this sprint race is Max Verstappen, should, as his reward for setting the fastest time, have the best possible line into the first corner. But pole position switches from side to side, race to race.
Yeah, that's right. The side of the grid on the racing line is sometimes called the clean side. You may have heard that. It's usually a bit more grippy. It has been cleaned up by cars running over it all weekend. So in theory, Christian, all the cars on the odd number side of the grid have a slight advantage over the even number grid slots on what they call the dirty side of the grid. Are you able to visualize that, Christian? Are you able to see the clean and dirty side?
So here at the Circuit of the Americas, it's not actually as visible as it is at other circuits. I've been on the grid, and particularly, Katie, an example of this is Miami. I was on the grid there in the 2023 season where the circuit had just been relaid. Because it was fresh circuit tarmac, you really could see the difference. You could see the dark black grip on the grippier side of the grid. It's not quite as visible here at COTA, but if you look closely, you can see just that little bit more grip on the grippy side of the track. Now, it's getting really, really busy. The clock is always ticking. Now, teams and drivers will do a radio check on the grid to make sure they can hear and talk to each other. What we're going to do now is we're actually going to listen in to Fernando Alonso's car.
So, Fernando, everybody is on mediums. Everyone's on mediums. The only question might be got is sights. It's a P5, but I'll let you know when I know that. So, confirmation for science is also medium. You can do one bite point find once Dermot gives you a signal.
Now, there are a few things that teams and drivers do while they're on the grid. Engineers will tell the driver what tyres the other drivers are going to start the race on. That's vital information with regards to the engineers telling the drivers what tyres the others are on, because it means they'll have last-minute talks about strategy.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
As we get closer to lights out, there are more people piling onto the grid now. Just behind Katie, we're at the access point where people come onto the grid. Not only are there more team members coming on here to do their jobs, but this is the point, you've all seen it on the telly, where the super fans who've been very lucky with getting special tickets are coming on, where the celebrities are coming on. There's a gentleman behind me wearing a silver necklace that looks like it's heavier than me. People wearing very fancy, expensive looking clothes. And we've just seen, who's that? Is that Esteban Ocon, Katie?
That's right, and Valtteri Bottas is beside us as well, and a bit of a cold suit. He has ice on his chest, making sure that he stays cool, calm, and collected before this sprint race as well.
Yeah, but interestingly, as Katie mentions, Esteban and Valtteri are coming off the grid at this point. We mentioned we're stood by Oscar Piastri's car. He is also just nipped off the grid. They can go and cool down at this stage, but walking onto the grid right now, next to the Mercedes chief communications officer Bradley Lord, is Kimi Antonelli. So while the drivers who are currently in race seats are nipping off to have a little bit of a cool down before it starts, drivers like Kimi Antonelli, who are about to get ready to make their Formula One debut next season, are coming onto the grid accompanied by somebody like Bradley to see what they can learn. This is vital learning opportunities for people like Kimi, so they can soak up as much information, knowledge and feeling, because very soon this will be them.
And they do get a sense, drivers like that will get a sense of what it's like to have the anticipation on the grid, the heat, the energy, the vibe. It's really something outstanding and very different than what you even can feel and see on TV.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned the clock is always ticking, counting down to the start of the formation lap before the race. There are warnings at 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute and 15 seconds before the start of the formation lap. Now, those warnings are shown on a screen above the grid, and you also hear a warning noise. Keep an ear out for it, because you might actually hear it before we start. And we mentioned, Katie, that as those grid countdowns start, we start to get celebrities on the grid. Would you like to say who's just walked past you to the left?
Well, to the left was Lawrence Stroll, and as he was strolling on past, I don't know if I've ever wanted to say that, but that kind of has a nice ring to it.
It was nice. Did you not see who was behind him?
No! I was admiring the fact that that man is one of the best dressed men, I think, in the paddock.
Forget Lawrence Stroll. You missed somebody more exciting than him.
Who?
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah. Turns out that guy is going to have a huge presence in the Vegas race. Just so you guys know, we cannot wait to see how he brings exceptional fire, if you will. Get it? Hell's Kitchen. Fire to the Vegas race. It's going to be outstanding. But no, I didn't even see Gordon Ramsay. I was more interested in what the look, feel, vibe is.
Do you think I should try and grab him?
You go get it.
Gordon Ramsay, F1 Explains, what do you make of these grids? I know you're a Formula One fan, but they're truly special, aren't they?
They're unique. This track is extraordinary. And also, look at the atmosphere. I mean, this thing's just rocketing. It's incredible.
How much do you enjoy being on the grids? And for people who've never been on it, what's the nearest thing that you can explain that it's sort of like similar to?
It's like growing up doing lots of sports on the starting line, and the adrenaline's pumping and you just can't wait to get going.
We love that you love F1. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you so much.
Now, let's hope none of the drivers have a kitchen nightmare today, because usually about 14 minutes before the race, the drivers have to go to the front of the grid for the pre-race ceremony. We're not quite there yet. They each have a grid kid, usually a young local boy or girl who's racing in karting. The grid kids get to meet the drivers and stand with them during the national anthem. We're stood behind Oscar Piastri's car. He has been a grid kid himself in Formula One and now gets to be a driver. Not bad at all, is it, Katie?
That's wonderful. Zhou Guanyu just walked by as well. And, you know, one of the things, and Liam Lawson as well, One of the things I love is how fast these drivers walk. I don't know if there's ever anybody who walks faster than an F1 driver. It's not they're escaping the heat. They're not trying to cool off. They literally are just trying to get by without tons of people taking photos, stopping them. It's unbelievable, their speed. You got this.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the warm-up in a moment. I just wonder if I could grab a quick word with Tom Stallard. Tom, hello. F1 Explains podcast. Tom, what sort of thing are you saying to your driver at this point before the race starts?
We're just checking how the car was on the one lap to grid we get, how the balance is. So then we'll go back, have a look at the data from that with the performance engineers. Probably have a pee and then come back to see us.
Hey, we like the technical things because the drivers can spot right when something's a bit amiss on that short run to the grid.
Yeah, correct.
Tom Stallard, thank you very much indeed for talking to us, Oscar Piastri's race engineer. Now, 10 minutes before the formation lap, everyone except the drivers, technical staff and the FIA officials must leave the grid. At this point, we have to leave too. So do all the celebrities, the TV reporters, any non-technical team members, Katie.
Yeah, that's right. That's where we get the boot. 5 minutes before the formation lap, all cars must have their wheels fitted. This is that deadline for deciding which tires to start the race on, which is obviously a very pivotal decision for many of these drivers, particularly important in a wet start where the teams might be making, you know, a last-minute decision between slick, intermediate, or full wet tires. The good news is today that's not going to be a problem whatsoever.
Yeah, now any driver whose wheels are not fitted at this point will get a penalty. We've seen that happen in Formula One before. Heated tyre blankets can remain on the tyres, but they must be disconnected from the power. The mechanics hold them. As we can hear an RB properly getting warmed up behind us, the mechanics hold them over the tyres until the last possible moment. Then the remaining team members start to leave the grid. Race engineers or team principals, they all head back to the pit wall and the garage.
You know what I like? This might be my little investigative reporter style in me, but listening to RB there, there were a couple of McLaren guys with their headsets off, leaning in to listen, what it appeared to be listening in to see how that RB car sounded. So again, that might just be me thinking about that, but I think that was really fascinating to see them take their cans off and lean in.
You're absolutely right, Katie, and you do see that at this point. Now we're at the point where all the cars are on the grid. You do get, for example, we've got a Ferrari mechanic right in front of us having a good old look at this Mercedes to the right of us that belongs to a certain Lewis Hamilton. He'll be able to get a much closer look at Lewis Hamilton next season. But you're right, Katie, you get a little bit of spying going on at that point as people start to look. What can they learn? Because they don't often get the opportunity to be up close to their rivals' cars, but on the grid is one of the few areas where that can happen.
I wonder if that's someone's particular job. If they send the same person out each time to kind of be the little sleuth to figure out what others are going. Like, that's what that person does on the grid each time. More on that later. I'll try and find that out.
Yeah, now with exactly 5 minutes to go, that is when you hear, back at home, the F1 opening titles play out on your TV. That is where Alex Jakes welcomes you to the race.
Welcome back to Formula One from the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. It is time.
The next warning is 3 minutes before the formation lap. By this point, no more than 16 team members for each team are allowed on the starting grid.
Yeah, and at 1 minute to go, engines should be started. Formula One cars don't have an ignition key like a road car. They're started using an external starter. It looks like a metal rod. They stick it in the back of the car. The final thing team members do is often push the car back ever so slightly. If you've ever wondered why that is, it means the driver can lay down some rubber across the whole of their grid box when they start the formation lap, making for a grippier start.
With 15 seconds to go before the formation lap, you can only imagine the buildup that everyone might be feeling. All team members must be off the grid. They usually go and stand at the edge of the track, then run back to the pit lane. And when we say run, that is another mad dash for these team members. They run back to the pit lane once all cars have gone off on the formation lap. Now, the rules say that if any team members are touching a car, or if any equipment is still connected to a car on the grid after 15 seconds signal, that driver must start from the pit lane.
Yeah.
What that takes me back to, Christian,
yeah,
is you know, pencils down, hands up, back in school, or in cooking shows, speaking of Gordon Ramsay, when it's like, you know, all materials up, your hands up. Like, it's literally hands up, hands off, no more touching.
Oh, I love that. That is such a good analogy, Katie. Now, if a driver has a problem, once all their mechanics have left, the rules say they have to raise their arm to alert the marshals. That is bad news, because they then get pushed to the pit lane. Drivers are allowed to pit at the end of the formation lap, but it means they'll start the race from the pit lane. We sometimes see this in wet races when a driver decides to switch tires.
And just like that, we've made it to the top of the grid. Just like on the hour, it's green light time. The formation lap starts. The drivers do a lap around the track at a reduced speed. They warm their tires up by weaving across the track. You may have seen that on the shows. They warm their brakes up also by braking hard into some of the corners. You probably have taken note of that. And they also do burnouts. Now, we all love a good burnout. We love the smell of tire smoke. But the sharp acceleration in first gear to spin up the tires a little bit to get them hot and grippy for the start is a crucial part, and not just for celebration donuts.
Now, back on the grid, drivers pull up in their grid box. They've got to be careful, as Katie mentioned, to park properly. They sit sometimes for up to 30 seconds or more waiting for the grid to form up. They then get one last message from their engineer, which tells them it's almost time to go. The last car is approaching the back of the grid. That's when we see the medical car lining up at the back of the grid too. And that actually follows the first lap of the action, so it's able to get to the scene of a first lap crash quickly. When every car is in position, a marshal waves a green flag. At the back of the grid, the lights come on, the engine revs rise, and it is time to go racing.
Green flag at the back means that we count up the lights. 3, 4, 5 red lights in Austin. And Formula One is sprinting to turn number one. George Russell.
Well, that, Katie Osborne, is what happens on the grid right up to lights out. Now, let's take you back to real time as we're recording this podcast. We are about 10 minutes away from lights out. And Katie, I just wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think and feel and enjoy about being on this grid?
I think my favorite part is seeing the teams and the drivers adjust and adapt to the conditions out here. You see Nico Hülkenberg right beside us laying some ice and some cold towels over his head, just trying to stay cool. You see the energy and the vibe. We talk about how fast people walk out here. You can't really get that sense when you're watching it on TV. And it's unbelievable all the nuts and bolts, literally, that's happening beside us. The
Katie's
tire gun.
Watching God, a tire gun being fitted and used as a nuts and bolts analogy. Brilliant.
But you see all these little intricate details that you just don't get to catch. But you know what? I see you moving and grooving, Christian. We're nearing that 10 minutes, and you know what happens at that 10 minutes? We all get the boost. Yeah. What's your takeaway?
My takeaway is the fantastic, enjoyable chaos. We have got music pumping in the background, as you can hear, a bit of Venger Boys, and who doesn't love a bit of Venger Boys?
The crowd's responding decently well to that.
You've got people wandering through the grid. You've got celebrities like Gordon Ramsay, who we heard from earlier. You've got utter chaos, and while all this is happening, the drivers need to be on their A game. They need to be ready to go racing in one of the most high pressurized sports in the world. And it's being on this grid, in places like this, right here and now, that gives you such an indication as to how good these racing drivers are. So few top level sporting athletes in the world have to put up with such chaos, pandemonium, unpredictability, rules, regulations, countdowns, pressure before they go and do their thing in front of millions and millions of people around the world. This is why they're superheroes, Katie Osborne.
That's a really good point. And you're right, the focus level at this point in time, drivers have gotten into the vehicles. They are laser focused. They have helmets on, and it is go time 10 minutes in for them.
Now, we're about to walk off the grid. We're going to stay here.
Are you disappointed by that?
Oh, I'm so disappointed by that. But I'm not too disappointed because we get to see a motor race as well. So we're going to walk off the grid, which means we'll be going in just a moment's time. But don't forget, this is not the only Formula One podcast that gives you insight and behind-the-scenes action from the world of Formula One. There is F1 Beyond the Grid, where Tom Clarkson speaks to people in great depth about their life and times in Formula One. There's race reviews and previews with F1 Nation, and there's our colleagues at F1 TV, who will bring you all the live action if you can watch their coverage around the world. And in front of us now, we can see Lawrence Barreto and Laura Winter, who are talking to viewers around the world before the start of this sprint race, Katie.
They do a great job. Everyone out here is just gearing up and getting ready to go. I can't wait to watch this race go down. But more importantly, we sure hope that you've gotten to experience what the grid is all about at an F1 race. We got new episodes every Friday coming to you from F1 Explains. You can always send your questions at F1explains@F1.com. We love hearing from you. And as Christian always says, like, subscribe, get that little notification. You don't want to miss anything.
And while Katie was talking then, a tall gentleman in an official-looking Formula One top, in no uncertain terms, he looked like a gentleman that you wouldn't argue with. If he says it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday. And he gave us a very firm point away from the grid, which means I think we got to go.
It's the boot.
Listen, I hope we've given you a little bit more insight as to what goes on a Formula One grid and taken you a little bit behind the scenes. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it. Send it to a friend, share it on social media. We'd really appreciate it. As Katie says, we have new episodes every Friday, which means we'll be back next week explaining more things in and around the wonderful world of Formula One. Katie, should we go and watch a sprint race?
That's what we should go do, Christian.
See you next.
The time has come.
The time has come. Thanks for listening, everyone. Back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.